Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand up on our feet this morning? Let's give God some praise and some glory. Amen. Come on, you can clap, you can shout, whatever you want to do. He's a good God. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. As we get ready to receive the word, your word is power. And we open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Come on, shake hands with somebody as you make your way to your seats. I am honored, absolutely honored to be back here with you. You guys are such an enormous blessing to myself, my wife, our family. My wife is here. Two of my sons are here. I got five amazing children. We have a picture they can put on the screen of my family. Aren't they beautiful? Wow. So I wanted to make mention, my kids have been enjoying y'all's church. We've been here since last night, and man, they just can't get enough of what you guys have to offer here. And so I'm privileged to be here again. We were here with you guys not too long ago, this year in May, and it's an honor to be back and to be able to speak to you. Today I want to talk to you about generosity. I want to share a message with you called Addicted to Giving. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. But I'll tell you this, in preparation for this service, I was just, you know, curious what the definition of generosity was, what it meant to be generous. So I looked it up, and it came as no shock or surprise to me that I saw this church's picture right there in that definition. You guys are amazingly generous. Today, I've got the privilege of standing here as a pastor, but also as a testimony of what your church's generosity has done in the lives of others. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes this morning, and I'm going to brag on you. Is that okay? Don't you like when people talk about you and make you feel better, right? Like, please stop it. No, come on, stop telling me those great things about myself. You're too much. Okay, one more. Just tell me one more thing, right? But that's what I want to do this morning. I'm confident that you guys are one of the most generous churches I've ever seen, ever been a part of, ever been influenced by. Aren't your pastors and your staff and your team just amazing? Come on, give them a hand. Amen. I want to thank your pastors. I know they're out of town, but I'm sure they're going to listen to this audio. But just the staff, the pastors, the team here, y'all's hospitality, your church. When we come in, I'm looking. I got eyes. I'm thinking, what can I take away from this church? Not like I'm going to steal your pictures out of the foyer, but I mean, like, what can I take away and glean from in a good way? And it's everything. You guys, I'm going to have to go back and just redo my whole church and change our name to Word of Life because y'all are phenomenal. Amen. I think Pastor Joe will be okay with that. But you guys have done so many great things in the years that this church has been here. But our church in particular was a recipient of some of your generosity. You know, as a pastor, we often get together and talk to other pastors. And so when we started our church, this January will be 7 years we've been pastoring Metro Life Church in Lafayette. And God has just blessed us and taken us places we never thought we would go. But all these pastors would tell me things like when it comes to summertime, like, all right, man, get ready, buckle down, because summers are rough for the church. Well, I just never really saw that. And to be honest with you, I don't have what you say. I have what I say. So I'm not believing for that. So, man, we never experienced that. We were great. But last year, it seemed that we fell into that. And what looked to be a drought, a financial decline in our ministry, it just seemed that God was still faithful. He was still, you know, we were doing what we were supposed to do. We never stopped giving as a church. We never stopped blessing our community. We never stopped giving to world missions. I never laid anyone off. We had to make some cutbacks in many areas, but it wasn't in our giving. Because I believe the one place you don't stop is the thing that starts your future. And that's your giving. Your seed is proactive. It goes ahead of you and causes things to manifest in your life, in your future. Amen. And so long story short, I went to a conference that your pastor was speaking at. And this night particularly, he wasn't speaking, but he was there. He had just spoken that morning. And the minister that was speaking called me out of the crowd. And he said, Caleb, I got a word for you. And I went down to the front. And all he said over me was, breakthrough. He didn't know what I was going through. He didn't know what our ministry needed. He had no clue what was happening. But I knew that word was for me, and I received it. And to be honest with you, I was glad to get the word, but I really wanted a breakthrough. How many of you know, thank you for saying that over me, Pastor, but when's it going to happen, right? Come on, be honest. You're glad that the words came, but you want the manifestation. Well, man, I walked right back to my seat after that, and I was buzzing off that word. I was just like, whoo, breakthrough, praise God. I get back, and your pastor steps out of his chair, meets me at my seat, leans over and whispers in my ear, and he said, Caleb, when he spoke that word over you, immediately the Lord spoke something to me. He said, my church is going to give your church $50,000. And I said, I'm sorry, what'd you just say? Did you say 50? I had never had that happen to our church at that time. And I remember I got back and I texted my wife and I said, you'll never guess what just happened. I got a word spoken over me, and I'm sure my text speech was confused because I was like shaking. And then I thought, wait a second, did he say 50 or 1,500? And I was going, oh no, what did he say? But either way, I would have been happy, right? But you know, your brain's going, okay, did he say 50,000 or I'm giving you $50? Well, I got back home and that check came in the mail. My secretary came running, Pastor Caleb, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I said, cash it right now. go, get in the bank. Hurry. But man, we were so blessed by that. What seemed to be a drought in our lives, God showed up suddenly. Isn't God good like that? You may be in that, amen. You may be in that same situation right now. And you go, it seems that I'm in a drought. It seems like I'm in a financial decline. Where we live in Lafayette, oil industry is very big. And so probably 80% of the men in our church are in the oil industry. And in 1 week's time, 10,000 men in our city got laid off just like that. God has spared a lot of our church members. And it's not just because they were lucky. It's because they're generous. It's because the favor of God is upon their life. It's because they have stock in the kingdom, not just in the oil industry. God has provided for them. Come on, Malachi 3:11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And I came to tell you today some good news. God is watching over you. God sees what you've been doing, and he's going to take care of you. Amen. I want to keep bragging on you for just a minute because, you know, it'd be one thing to tell you that we received your check and cashed your check, right? But it's another thing to tell you what we did with your check. What God did through our ministry because of you has really propelled us into the next level that God's taking us. We were able to step out and purchase land to build the first building we've ever built in the history of Metro Life Church. Give yourself a hand for that. Amen. And we can't wait. We're in the process of paying that land off, and we're going to go out there and build just a massive building, debt-free in Jesus' name, amen, and just kick the devil in the teeth. But if I stop there, that would be commendable enough to let you know that you used your resources and your pastor's vision and his heart and generosity through this church to build another church to advance the kingdom of God, but that's not all. We made a promise at the very beginning of our ministry that anything that came in through our hands, the first 20% minimum would go into world missions. And so we took 20% of that offering and we sowed it into missions. And let me tell you what your offering has done, your generosity has done through our ministry just in the past 12 months. We helped pay for the translating and the printing of books and materials to go into other countries, translated them into languages of Spanish, Urdu, Nepalese, Vietnamese, Hindi, Arabic, Farsi, Korean, and Garo. Come on, the word of God was translated. Come on, give yourself a hand for that. And placed in nations for free. We didn't say, now that'll be $10 per book, please. No, we gave it to them. But that's not it. Not only did we do that, we were able to start numerous Bible colleges around the world, including many inside correctional facilities and prisons. Come on, give yourself a hand for that. Amen. And we're not done yet. We aided in building churches in Nepal and a children's home, providing shelter, clothing, and food, and education, as well as medical needs. Praise God. Amen. And your money still has not stopped. Lastly, we helped missionaries bring in pastors who, most of these pastors are pastoring anywhere from 5 to 10 churches at once. They're meeting in mud huts. They're meeting in shacks. They have no transportation. They don't have air conditioning in their buildings. They can't afford to come to a conference to receive that information, that revelation, to impart into them the things they need to go out into their nations. So we paid for their travel, for their lodging, for their food. We gave them money to bless them. We brought in pastors from Nigeria, from India, from Colombia, from Vietnam, from Thailand, from New Zealand, from Australia, and from the UK. Come on, can we give God some shout and some praise and some glory for that? You guys are crazy generous. Your pastor is nuts. Like, no joke, I've been out with your pastor before, and I thought, like, I was generous. Oh, man, he's crazy. Any opportunity he sees somebody who's starting a work or doing something, he doesn't just go, oh, well, God bless you, I'll pray for you. That's what we normally do. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm praying for you. You ain't praying for nobody. Come on. We always tell people, oh, yeah, I'm praying for you. We don't pray for them. We should. I know y'all do. Y'all are amazing. Y'all pray for everybody, right? Y'all 24-hour prayer ministry. You got hotline numbers and everything. I know how that goes. But your pastor steps up to the plate, and he says, our church will do it. Our church will send you. Our church will support you. Why? Because he knows your heart. And you've trusted him, and you've given, and you've sown, and your pastor has done amazing things through the vision God's given him because of your partnership with him and this local church. And I'm so honored to be in relationship with your pastor, and I'm so blessed to be standing in his pulpit right now. God is so faithful. Amen. So this morning, I want to just talk to you a little bit about what God's going to do for you because of what you've already been able to do through him and for him through your generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to get into the word this morning. I want to talk to you about being addicted to giving. You know, we often think of addiction as a bad thing, and usually it is when it comes to substance abuse or drug abuse or whatever the needs may be or the situation. But when it comes to God and it comes to giving, that's one addiction, one habit that I believe God will support. When you look at the Bible, you got people like David. David was crazy obsessed with God. I mean, you read his letters, you read his Psalms, you read the things that he did. And the Bible says not only that was he singing to God and praising God and thinking about God, but he's saying things like, I just can't wait to be in your house. I can't wait to be in your presence. I long for you. I'm thirsty for you, God. I need a fix, man. I mean, David's out there. God, I can't get enough of you. He was obsessed with God, obsessed with his presence. I believe when you become addicted to God, my pastor says when you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. God is willing to partner with someone who's willing to be obsessed with what he's obsessed with. God loves you so much, he said, I can't sit here and watch their condition. Jesus, you got to go change it. I got to give you. I'm going to give you to them, and I'm going to change their life. You are a product of God's generosity. And there's so many countless others who are a product of your generosity. God is so faithful. Amen. So tonight, or this morning, I want to tell you about what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says. It says in verse 6, the New Living Translation reads this way. It says, remember this. Come on, if it says remember, you better remember. It says, the farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. That means you're going to reap what you sow, right? You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. It talks about your heart. See, man can't determine how much you should give. You are to determine. The Word of God maps it out for us, and we just look at that and say, God, use me. I'll be willing. I'll be obedient. Amen. And in that, you will eat the good of the land. You will have the best that the earth yields. Well, we look at the Amplified translation of verse 7. It takes it a little bit further and talks about the condition of man. It says, For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. I love that translation because it said God is unwilling to do without generous givers. Word of Life Church, God is unwilling to do without you. Not only that, he said he will not abandon you. You ever had somebody, you came to that critical moment where you really needed them, but they left you at that time? And it's like, I really needed you, but you weren't there. You know, God can never have that statement said about him. when you gave and when you did and when you helped that neighbor or that family member, or you sowed into the vision that your pastor was preaching about and whatever it was that the church was doing at that time, or you were helping a colleague or someone at work, whatever the need was, God didn't leave you after that. No, he says, because of that, I'm unwilling to do without you. What does that mean? You've made yourself valuable for the kingdom. There's people in my church that do a lot of great things, but there's some people who do exceptional things, and I can't do without them. You know, if one person called in and said, hey, I can't make it, I can't run parking this morning, or I can't be in the nursery, we understand, we got many of you. But if my children's pastor said they couldn't make it, oh man, that's a big deal, because they're exceptional at what they do. You are exceptional at your generosity. And God said, I will not do without you. So much so, he said, I'm going to enable you to stay that way. I'm going to show you a couple more verses this morning that I believe will help feed you, because giving is a matter of the heart. The Bible said so right there. It said, giving is a matter of the heart in the sense that it said, whose heart is in his giving. Your heart is in your giving. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That means you can often find someone's passion or their heart by looking at their investments. Their investment could be in their friendships. It could be in their family. Nothing wrong with investing in those things. It could be in their vehicles, in their car, in their rims, in their deer lease, in their hunting. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but we're going to cover it all this morning, right? Nothing wrong with any of those things as long as they're not first. Because a couple more verses down in Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, and all those things you need, I'm going to add them to you. God's in the business of adding to your life. God says, I'll add to you. I'll multiply you. I'll increase you. I'll give you abundance. Why? Because you've put me first. Because you've shown that you're generous. You are exceptional to me. I cannot do without you. God needs you, and God needs this church. You guys are doing amazing things right here in Flowood in the Jackson area. If we keep looking down, we go to John 3:16, other verses that say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It didn't say that God had a good idea, so he said, hey, Jesus, just go hang out with them for maybe 33 years or so, and then we'll see what happens. God loved so much that he gave. You know, it's been said that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I have 5 amazing, precious children. You know what? Even when times seem tight or tough, I find a way to give. Dad, I really want those shoes. Or Dad, I really want that bike. Or Dad, I really want that for Christmas. I find a way. Why? Because I love them. I want them to have it. How many know God found a way to get you everything you needed because he loved you so much, he spared no expense? The Bible says if he gave his son, right, how much more would he give you? I'll be honest with you, and I think you're great. I wouldn't give any of my kids for you. I love them too much. But he would. That's much more generous than me. But he set the bar for me. So now I can go, okay, God, if you can do it, I'm gonna give it a shot. But he'll enable you. He'll help you. He'll increase you. In verse 8, it goes on to say, God will generously provide all that you need. I really believe that's a verse that we need to wake up and say every day. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, today God will generously provide all that I need. When you're looking at your bills, God, you'll generously provide all that I need. When those phone calls are coming and they're talking to you on the phone, God, you'll generously provide all that I need. When your kid comes home and says, I forgot to tell you, I need $60 for field trip tomorrow. God, you'll generously provide all that I need. My clothes don't fit. God, you'll generously provide all that I need. Dad, I lost this. Dad, I wrecked this. I ran into this. God, you'll generously provide all that I need. And one day my daughter is going to go, Dad, I found someone. We're getting married. Oh, God, you'll generously provide all that I need. He'll do that. Why? Because his word says so. Look what it says after that. After he provides all that you need, listen, this is why he's providing for you. Then You will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. People often say, you get yours, I'll get mine. I understand that. But how about I get mine, and with me getting mine, I help you get yours? It's not all about us. It's not about what we can accumulate, what we can do, when we can retire, when we can finally have that vacation home or finally get that deer lease or that camp in the woods or whatever the case may be, that speedboat, that jet ski, right? We can finally get this that we want. There's nothing wrong with you having those things. But why don't you help somebody else in the process? Quick testimony, my wife and I, we were at a place, God's just blessed us so much, and we've just gotten crazy when it comes to giving. So we just started giving all kinds of stuff away. We started giving our cars away. We started selling stuff, raising the money, giving it away. We just started doing crazy stuff. And in the process, God has just really overdone himself. And cars are given to us all the time. Well, one day I told my wife, I said, it's finally time. Where she found out she was pregnant with twins, and we just needed a bigger vehicle. I said, I'm going to step out. We're going to buy a car. We haven't had to buy a car in like 10 years. People just keep giving us cars. So I'm going to step out. I'm going to buy you a car. And we went to go get a car. And the Lord dealt with me. He said, you're really excited about that car, aren't you? I said, yeah, it's going to be great, man. It's beautiful. He said, why don't you buy one for someone else too? And I thought, Now, he did that to me at Starbucks one time. Like, you like that coffee? I bet that dude over there would like some coffee. Okay, I'll get their coffee, no problem. That's not a big deal at all. Got your coffee, bro. Hey, what's up? But I was at the car dealership. That's another level, God. So I called my wife. I said, hey, look, man, God's dealing with me, and we can't buy two cars. But what we can do is go ahead and get them a car, and we'll just wait. And so we did. We found someone who had been influential in our life that we wanted to honor. And we called him and we said, listen, I don't know if you need one or not, doesn't matter, but I need to give one. We're going to buy you a vehicle. And when we did that, you know, it looked like, oh, babe, we're never going to get your car. No, God went far above what we could ever ask and think of. You know, God wants to bless people, but he wants to do it through us. I'm tired of the world getting everything. I'm tired of the world getting the credit for their generosity. You know, it's like, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a... And we're just going, hey, can you help me out over here? No, we need to be the ones going, we're going to help you. We see the need. We're going to supply it. And that's the heart of this church. That's what you've been doing. Well, the Bible talks about all these things that God's going to do, being blessed to be a blessing, God being an enabler. We go down to verse 10 and it says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to just go ahead and let you eat bread all day long. Now, see, some people mistake their seed for food and they eat their seed. And then they ask God where the harvest is and he says, it's in your belly. It's right there. There's a group by the name of Barna. They do all these stats and stuff for churches and they said that 4% of Christians actually tithe, and that's a true stat. But I would venture to say that actually 100% of Christians tithe. They just don't do it to their local church. They're tithing to Visa or DirecTV or their credit cards or they're tithing to themselves. They're giving their tithe. It's just not necessarily coming back to them in a way that's blessing them. And although we have needs and although times do get tough, when our stock is in heaven, when our investments are in the kingdom, it is an eternal reward and a harvest that comes back to us in a multiplied way that no 401k, no IRA, no mutual fund, no anything could ever match what God can do through your giving. I mean, you talk about fishes and loaves. I mean, a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread, and you multiplied it to feed thousands. When you put something in the hands of God and he blesses it, he'll hand it back to you and say, now multiply. God is so faithful to do all that he said that he would do in our lives. Well, it says not only that, but in the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of what? Generosity in you. God wants your harvest to make you more generous. It's not like, woo, look what you gave me. All right, I'm good. I'm set. Everybody leave me alone. I'm enjoying this. No, he said, no, blessed to be a blessing. There's more where that came from. It is an amazingly genius way that God does things. You sow, you reap, and then you sow off what you reap, and then you reap some more. And it's just like this cycle of abundant provision that you just can't stop. It just overtakes you. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord will overtake you. One translation says, chase you down and overwhelm you. Right? We're not chasing the blessing. The blessing's chasing us. God is after you. He's looking, the Bible says, to and fro over whom he can show himself strong to. And he found a whole congregation right here in this area that is absolutely crazy generous, addicted to giving. The Bible says God will do something for those people. In verse 11, it says, yes, you will be enriched in every way. Listen to this. So that. God, why do you want to enrich me in every way? Just so I can look good? Just so I can have my suit and tie or my coach bag? Nothing wrong with any of that. But why do you want to bless me and enrich me so much? I'll tell you why. This is what he says. So that you can always be generous. God never wants you stopping. God says, once you get addicted, whoo, man, I'm going to support that habit. I'm going to make sure you stay addicted to giving. I'm going to keep giving you the necessary resources to keep doing this thing that you're obsessed with because it's changing lives far beyond you. What God does through you, one day you'll get to heaven and go, I had no clue that my support to my local church, that my generosity to those at work, to my family, helping people in need, provided this. When there's lines of people waiting to shake your hand when you walk through those gates to say, if it had not been for what you did through your local church, I would not have received Christ. If it had not been for what you did, people were in a village in Africa who couldn't get material, and we translated it and took the books to them and said, here, because of you. Now they're sitting there reading and receiving the word of God because of your life, because of your addiction and obsession to generosity. God loves, and he says he takes prize in. He prizes above all else a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. Well, it goes on to say this, and when you take your gifts to those who need them, they'll thank you. See, God desires for his kids to be generous. God himself is generous. He raised that bar for us, and he made us in his image. So we're to reflect who he is and his generosity. Verse 11 says, so that you'll be enriched so that you can always be generous. That means generosity is not an emotion. It's a lifestyle. I was at a conference at my brother-in-law's church, and John Bevere was speaking. So after the conference, we went into the back to have a little bite to eat, and I was privileged to sit beside him and kind of talk with him and chat with him. And so, man, they're bringing out all this food, and they're like, oh, we got, you know, paninis tonight. We're going to make, how many like paninis? You're thinking about them right now. You're thinking, when is this service going to be over? I'd really like to go have a panini. Nobody? I'm the only one? Okay. Well, they're making these paninis, and they're going, oh, what would you like on them? I'm like, what do you have? Well, we've got bacon. Check. Want that. Yeah. That double it up. Double bacon would be great. We've got cheese. Okay, I'll take that. What kind? There's four different kinds. Put all four kinds of cheese on there. I don't care. Whatever you got, put it on there, melt it, increase it, add more bread to it, give me as many carbs as possible, right? Then they get to Mr. John Bevere, and they said, Brother John, what would you like to have? He said, just a couple pieces of lettuce and a lemon to squeeze on top. And I'm sorry, am I out of line here with what I ordered? And so I looked at him and said, oh, you must be on a diet. And I never forget the look that he gave me. He looked at me and he said, diet? I don't diet. This is my lifestyle. And I thought, lifestyle. I've seen rabbits eat like that. I don't think I've seen a human eat like that every day of their life. Then I'm looking at him, man, he's so slim and trim and full of energy. And to me, my life has always been like, eat, 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 eat. Oh, my pants don't fit. Go on a diet for a week. Eat, 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 eat. Oh, well, I kind of got something over here I didn't have before. Let's diet for a week or so. I would always just change my eating momentarily to fit my clothes. I mean, the gym membership was so that I could keep eating a lot, right? Go run on the treadmill, burn the calories, go back and eat more. It was a lifestyle for him. To me, it wasn't. It was something that I was moved to do temporarily or sporadically. Giving is not an emotion. Being generous, although you can be moved with compassion, being generous is not something that just happens sporadically. It's a lifestyle. We give because it's in our heart to give, because we're created in the very image of the biggest giver. And so we're not just moved with compassion. It's who we are. We're generous. We're givers. And so he talks about all of these things that we can do through our generosity. But he says this in verse 12. He says, there's two good things that will result from the ministry of your giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. And as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. Let me tell you something today, church. There are people you will never see right now that are giving glory to God only because of your generosity. They never would have given God any glory had their needs not been met, had that situation not turned around, had someone not stepped out of their own selfishness and their own comfort zone and said, I'm going to push past me and bless you. And when they did that, their life changed. This morning, I believe people's lives are changing because of that very thing. It goes on to say, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. That means your generosity is proving your obedience. We're asked to be generous. In verse 14, he says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. My pastor always says, if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. There's a couple of things that being generous does. Generosity, the first thing it does is it provides more seed for you to sow. He didn't say, I'll give you seed so you can sow it. He said, I'll give seed to the sower, right? When you become a sower, God says, I'll keep giving you what it is that you are. You're a sower. And so the first thing it does, it provides more seed for you to sow. The second thing that generosity does is it gives God a way to provide for you. Isn't that nice that God has access into your life? That God has a way to tie himself to you? That's by your generosity. Third thing it does is it gives God a way to provide for others through you. And that's when it gets fun, man. That God's using you as an agent of blessing. You're just walking around, right? The Bible says that the devil's roaming around seeking whom he may devour, but God's walking around seeking whom he may bless. He gives life in abundance, and he uses us as a resource. He's the source, we're the resource. We're the conduit, the transportation, the mode of access, the vessel that he uses, as the Bible says, unto honor. Number four, it causes others to give glory to God. Your giving turns people to him. And then five, it causes them to pray for you. Isn't it nice that somebody genuinely prays for you? You bless them and they go, this had to be God. Let me pray over you. That's the most heartfelt prayer you'll ever have. It's so genuine. They genuinely want God to act on their prayer on your behalf because you gave into their lives. Thomas Jefferson said this. He said, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Now, I'm not speaking about this church here, but it is unfortunate that many people would do more with their lives if their excuses would allow them to. They have reasons why they don't go to church, reasons why they don't pay their tithe, reasons why they don't help those family members in need or support a mission or do this or help in a building program or whatever the situation may be. They have many reasons, but listen to this to me today, church. Seeds of intention never sprout up. They never do. Well, I meant to. I intended to do that, but you didn't. It's the seeds that we actually do plant and the soil of God that come up to a great harvest. And I'll tell you this today, church. This church, your pastor's vision is the soil of God. And what you've been doing is coming to a great harvest. Right before your eyes, you're going to see some amazing things begin to sprout up. Generosity is never about what we can get out of it, but rather what we can get to others out of it. God is looking to bless people through you. A lot of times we go, yeah, but God, I really need to be blessed. He's going to take care of you. He'll provide seed for you as you begin to sow. God will never overlook the generous. I heard someone say one time, when you give something that you can't afford to give, you'll get something that you can't afford to buy. You can't afford to pay for your marriage to be fixed or reunited. You can't afford enough money to pay for that lost child or loved one to come back to Christ. You can't pay enough for peace or for love or for joy. We try it in substance and we try it in entertainment and all these things. It just doesn't happen. But when you give something, you say, I just can't afford to give this, but I'm going to anyways. What you get is something that money could never buy. God promotes you and blesses you. In closing, true love is found in the heart of the generous. And I truly believe that God wants to take care of our needs so that he can help us take care of the needs of others. Not only that, but money is most valuable when it's put to work in helping people. As individuals and as a church, what we've got to do is it's our privilege to give generously to people in need, not only locally, but regionally, nationally, all across the world and abroad, that we give and we sow and we see God do things. Winston Churchill said this. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Word of Life Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that you're truly making lives through this community. And not only just here, but around the world. You are building people as you build the kingdom of God. Amen. Give yourself a hand for that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. And Father, we know your word is powerful and it is true and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. This morning, Father, we look at you as the supreme example of generosity. Jesus came because he loved us. Today, Father God, may we use our lives in love to change people, to build the kingdom, to advance things. We give you our hearts, we give you our lives, we give you everything, Father God, because you're faithful to do what you said you would do. And we thank you, Lord, for increase. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.